Hello and what is happening, everybody? Welcome to the bonus episode. It's a fifth Wednesday episode of the Wind Up podcast. Very typically, we get to do four episodes a month, not this October. The day before Halloween, we get to enjoy a bonus episode. Each bonus episode typically has kind of a different theme to it. This month, we're going to be focusing a little bit more on harvest because we just wrapped that up and kind of the impacts of 2024, what we are expecting from this vintage. This will be kind of our official vintage wrap-up episode as we get into the month of November in just a couple of short days. Before we dive in, as usual, a few announcements to be had. First and foremost, thank you as always for liking, subscribing, sharing the show with other wine loving fans and friends, colleagues, whoever it may be. Be sure to check us out on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube is where you can find the video version of this, of every episode actually, as well as all kinds of other fun updates that we have surrounding the wine world and winemaking. Speaking of YouTube and any of our social networks, you can follow us at MTGA Wines. YouTube and Instagram are certainly where we are the most active. You can also find us on the Book of Face and the social network formerly known as Twitter, however. Let's see. What's next? What else do we got? There's one other big announcement. Oh, yes, events. This episode is partially brought to you by the Napa Independent Producers. That includes ourselves and five other amazing colleagues and friends of ours that work for some amazing small brands. This November, in just a couple of short weeks, we're going to be in Charlotte, we're going to be in Atlanta, and we're going to be in Tampa. You can head to our website, mtgawines.com/shop, or just click the shop link on the top of our website there. You can find tickets to all three of those events. We're also working on a fourth event featuring just ourselves in Atlanta on November 18th. More details to follow here shortly on that. If you're at all interested in any of those events, you can drop us a line, slide into our DMs, send an email to us on our homepage, mtgawines.com. Scroll down a little bit. There's a little email form you can fill out and we'll answer any questions that you may have. Or if you're down, you want to come to any of those events, that's November 12th in Charlotte, November 13th in Atlanta, and November 14th in Tampa. Those tickets are available currently on our website. Be sure to snag those. Last but certainly not least, we were going to have another special announcement regarding some cool swag that we were preparing for the holiday season. It is slightly delayed. We are working with the website hosting company on a few snags. We should have it up in the next couple of days. We'll be announcing that on all of our social networks, so make sure you're following along. We'll also make sure there's an announcement in the next episode. The joys of starting new projects and having businesses hold you up. I'm so excited. It's just a matter of hitting go. We're just waiting for them to get things done, so stay tuned on that. Last and certainly not least, for anyone that's looking to snag, purchase wine, and have gifts sent out to colleagues, friends, whatever the case may be for the holiday season, now's the time to get those orders in. Please make sure you're 21 years or older. If you're ordering wine, mtgawines.com. You can check out the current releases that we have available on the website, or just as before, you can slide into our DMs or send us a note, and we will try and get that all set up and ready to go for you. We've got note cards. We can wrap it for you, all kinds of good stuff. All right, that's enough announcements. It's like 3 whole minutes of announcements. That's only getting longer. I'm going to start spreading this out a little bit more through the episode, I think. But you can always fast forward. So if you're sitting there frustrated because you had to listen to my droning on about the happenings and kind of the advertisements that we have going on, you can just fast forward through the episode. We're always kind of into the thick of it by like minute 5 or so, which is about where we're at right now. All right, enough idle chit-chat. Let's get into the meat of this episode, shall we? The 2024 harvest season. What happened? What's going on? Where are we at? We've alluded to a few of these things in some of our Q&As at the end of September, I believe, a little bit last week, at the end of October as well. But we haven't really had a chance to dive into it full force. So let's do that, shall we? Realistically, the 2024 season, if you're just going to look at it kind of from start to finish, from when the growing season started in the late winter, early spring, to grapes coming in August and September, it was a little warmer, certainly warmer than 2023, last year. I'll put it this way. As of right now, it's been almost a full week since our fermentations have, in essence, finished. Everything is in barrel right now. In fact, I was out at the winery yesterday on the 29th, topping up barrels and just kind of putting stuff to bed, checking in on the kids, as it were, to make sure everything was solid and looking good. From there, we're kind of just done. The wine is, in essence, entering its aging phase, and now we're just waiting for the magic to happen, which just takes patience. So that is almost a full month, actually, from when we pressed off almost a week ago. That is basically a full month ahead of schedule from where we were last year. That's how cool last year's growing season was, is that I went away on some of those travels, some of those trips I mentioned at the beginning, at the top of the show, and I had to come back and keep making wine because we weren't done just yet. That's the difference a season like this can make, or, you know, from one season to the next. And the big question we get during seasons that vary so much is, how the hell do you keep your wines consistent? You're talking about 30 days of extra time that your grapes are hanging in the fields, you know, extra time making those wines. You're butting up against December and the cool rainy weather really around the corner. And when you have these warmer, a little bit drier years like you've had in 2024, what is the impact of that going to be? What is the variability going to be like between these two vintages that have happened back to back? And that is really going to be kind of the core discussion that we're going to have today, because it is an immense challenge. You know, this is the stuff that starts to separate kind of the, as far as winemaking goes, kind of the men from the boys, women from the girls kind of situation, right? Where this is where the talent of a winemaker starts to really jump out at people. Because if you can capture the characteristics of two distinctly different vintages, like we've had over the last two seasons, and still find common threads between them and still kind of continue writing the same book and the same chapters and just adding to the storyline, that takes some talent. You can also be the mad scientist and make wine by the numbers. We talked a lot about that, with some of the more recent news and big names kind of being called out with sugar content and how heavily processed they can be. You can certainly try and make the Big Mac of the wine industry, or the Coke or the Pepsi, where you're fine-tuning the numbers and artificially kind of inserting certain things that aren't naturally present in the vineyards to, you know, homogenize your wine from one year to the next. That is certainly a route you can go. If you're someone like us, you want to avoid that like the plague. That's not something we ever want to do. We want to be as low intervention as possible. So how do you build that consistency? One is going to be the harvest date. You are looking for certain flavors and certain characteristics. So one of the main reasons we harvested earlier, you know, obviously with the warm weather, that's going to be a major factor this year. But that's because that fruit at that time is in kind of the ideal spot. Where last year, yeah, maybe it came in a month later, but that fruit at that point was at the ideal spot. So we're still looking for, in essence, the same characteristics, the same kind of, balance in the fruit as it comes in. And that is something that helps us build consistency. You know, it's not like we have a harvest date and says, okay, our cab comes in on October 3rd every year. And that's just when we pick, no matter what. That's not how it works, right? There's always wiggle room because we are looking for that most opportune time to bring that fruit in. And typically there's a couple of days worth of wiggle room in there. If it, you know, comes in a little later or a little earlier, that's okay. But when we start, you know, seeing another week go by, a week and a half go by, and that almost happened with us this year. I'll get into some trials and tribulations here in a minute. You know, that can cause a lot of issues. You know, and this is one of those issues that happened with our Cabernet vineyard this year, where it was odd. I've never actually dealt with this. And it is something that I've, you know, kind of towed the line on a couple of times, but I've never had to deal with this particular issue. Because this is one of the challenges that you can face, even in an ideal harvest season like the last couple that we've had. And yes, even though these two vintages back to back, 23 and 24, were drastically different, I still consider them both ideal. Personally, I prefer a cooler vintage like 2023, but 2024 was so good, it lined it up to knock it down nonetheless, right? So you can still kind of find the best of both worlds in these two things. But the example I want to give as far as like, you know, hiccups that can come along is that we had our Cabernet pick scheduled. And it was scheduled for a Friday, Thursday night, going into Friday, or maybe it was Friday into Saturday. Doesn't matter. Either way, oh, it was Thursday into Friday, actually, because this is important. Thursday into Friday, we had our Cabernet pick scheduled. About, you know, I know this was scheduled about 5-6 days in advance. We try and give our crews and farming folks that we work with plenty of time to make sure that we can get it done quickly, efficiently, and within a good, you know, time frame. 2 days before the pick was scheduled, unfortunately, the vineyard foreman was hurt in an accident. Hopefully doing well, recovering well, right? You know, is what we're thinking at the time. Because obviously someone's health and well-being is not worth, you know, as much as grapes. So we can kind of take a back seat. You know, I'm working with the grower at that time, like, hey, keep us up to date. What do you guys need? What are the plans? You know, and of course, I don't want to be insensitive, but like, what are the plans for harvesting this fruit? And we didn't hear from them for a couple of days. There was another person purchasing grapes off the same property. I'm in touch with them as well because we try and coordinate pick dates if we can. They did not have room at their winery to pick the fruit. So they were kind of like, yep, we're kicking that can down the street. We'll deal with that at some point. So we were kind of on our own. We don't hear anything. I get in touch with the grower again. They tell me this other, you know, client of theirs is potentially picking. I tell them, no, they're not because they don't have space at the winery. And we're kind of out of a picking crew. So the fruit potentially is just going to hang on the vine for an undefined amount of time. You know, all the while we're hoping this guy is, you know, healthy, doing okay, you know, not severely, you know, severely injured or hurt, right? But now we're stuck in limbo. And we are risking, number one, running out of space at the winery for ourselves. And two, not actually being able to bring this fruit in at all. So we're like up, starting to get up against a wall here. And I really don't want to wait and can't wait another week to hope that we can get this fruit in. Like it needs to happen within that little time frame. Because again, we're kind of fighting for this consistency from 1 year to the next. So that kind of stuff can happen. Luckily, the fruit came in. It was a day later than it was supposed to. We had a friend of ours and a colleague, I should say, that were picking fruit literally a couple of miles away. The crew had time to come and pick our fruit after they were done with that pick. So they're like, yep, we got it. It'll be a little bit of a long day, but we'll make it happen. And, you know, teamwork make the dream work. It was great. But it was super, super important to us to get that fruit in a reasonable amount of time, because that is going to help us build that consistency. That fruit was right where it needed to be. It tastes beautiful now that it's finished up its fermentation. And it's just, you know, it's amazing how just that big decision with a tight time frame like that can just help you, you know, get things started on the winemaking side of things on the right foot. If you don't have that ability, you know, I mentioned the other person who was purchasing that fruit who, you know, the other half of the fruit basically that basically said, you know, we don't have any space, so we can't bring it in. You know, is that fruit now pushing past the point where they want it? Would they have wanted to bring it in earlier? You know, are they okay letting it hang? I actually didn't have that conversation with them, but those are all things now that you have to start to consider on like the back end production side of things, where if you don't have the time, the bandwidth, the space, you know, is the fruit still going to be the quality that you want it to be? So that can be an issue, especially in a vintage like this, where in 2024, you had a lot of stuff kind of be ready all at once. And of course, that's more so on the big red wine side of things out here. So you had a lot of wineries that were just packed to the gills, making wine at a very quick clip, which means sometimes you got to let fruit hang until you can make more space, because you don't necessarily want to press off your wine early. You're not necessarily going to get the extraction, the concentration that you want out of it. So you're going to have to kind of, you know, massage that schedule a little bit and figure out what you can actually do. That was probably the biggest challenge this year, is that everything did kind of happen at once. You had crews that, you know, were going down and issues that you had to work through. But regardless, this is our one shot a year that we can actually make wine. and try to make the magic happen. So we got to do it and get it done as quickly and efficiently as we possibly can. The buddy of ours that did us that favor and helped pick that fruit, you know, he said it best. It was, we work all year to get to this point where we can bring the fruit when we need to. We got to get it in. You know, we've spent so much time and money. We have to do this right. It is imperative that we do this right. He said it best. That's all you can really say about it. Now, leading up into, you know, some of those potential issues, there's a lot that was kind of going on behind the scenes. One, we had another heat spike that was supposed to last 2 days that extended to about 5 days. Honestly, we didn't see a lot of issues. There was a little bit more raisining, as you might expect, from some extended heat, but nothing that was going to significantly impact, you know, the lots that we were bringing in a negative way. I know there were quite a few people that were sorting out a lot of raisins in certain batches, depending on how thorough the picking crews were, just to avoid some of those overripe raisiny characteristics that can also drastically affect the pH in your wine and shoot it through the roof. The acidity could be really low, which means you could have some potential spoilage issues in that case with VA and other things. You know, there are a lot of things that you kind of had to work through behind the scenes. It did feel like a lot of people harvested earlier than expected. I think maybe they were a little gun shy after the 2022 season and that giant heat spike that we've talked so much about. I'm really curious to see how some of these 2024s settle out, because I think some people did jump the gun a little bit, you know, seeing this heat, being worried about fruit quality. I haven't tasted any of these wines just yet, but that's kind of my initial impression. There were a lot of people that said they were done or almost done in like mid-September, late September. And it just didn't make a lot of sense for a lot of these producers. You know, if you're, you know, a Kathy Kors or maybe a Steve Mathiasen, where you're bringing in some stuff a little earlier than average or even ourselves, then yeah, maybe that makes a little bit more sense. But stylistically, for some of the folks that I was hearing about through the grapevine, pun intended, it was like, wow, they harvested that early? Crazy. I wonder what's going on in their vineyard. It was just interesting, very interesting times. But how's the overall quality? What can we expect from this 2024 vintage? Now, let's do a little comparison here, because 2023 was kind of like the cool vintage, you know, big yields, great quality, luckily enough, last year, very akin to kind of what we had in 2012. Now, 2012 was a warmer vintage, you know, than 2023 was. I'd almost equate last year to 2011, not quite that cold, not quite that rainy last year, but very similar. But in terms of like yields and quality, it was very akin to what 2012 had to offer. So about 11 to, you know, 12 years or so from, you know, those, or, you know, from prior vintages that are comparable in my mind. This year, I'd almost equate a little bit more to a 2013, where the yields are probably going to be a little lower overall. It's not going to be this big bumper crop year like we had in, you know, 23 or in like 2012. But, you know, you still had good average yields, great quality, and a great concentration, an amazing flavor. Quite honestly, I think that 2013 and 2024, these kind of two vintages are incredibly synonymous. Great concentration, great complexity. The wines are just really yummy at a very young age. And we're talking a few weeks here. Like, they just seem to have a leg up. Where I think 2012 and 2023, you know, those are a little bit more synonymous. The wines are good, really good. Is 2023 going to be the vintage of the decade that people expect it to be? I'm not putting my money on that bet just yet. We still need to get through the next kind of year of aging with some of our big reds to see how they evolve. It's a great vintage, don't get me wrong, but it is hyped up quite a bit. And that's a little weird to me. It seemed like it got some early praise very early on, and 2012 was very much the same. And when I hear a lot of kind of wine pundits and critics going crazy over a vintage, that's always a pink flag for me. It's not a red flag. It's certainly not a red flag that's on fire, but it's a pink flag. It's like, hey, there's a little something to be like, let's wait and see here. Let's pump the brakes a little bit. Again, it's not an indication that it's a bad vintage and they're just trying to sell you nonsense. It's just like, what gave you that impression? And I just feel like the 2024s at a very early stage are showing a lot more complexity, a lot more concentration than what we got out of last year. Last year, I love how those wines are evolving. We just tasted through all of them last week, tasted through about 40 barrel samples. They were all just killer. Really, really good stuff. I think 2023 is going to be like that idyllic, just line it up, knock it down, Napa vintage. It's going to be this, just what you expect. It is the diesel engine of vintages. Just keep the upkeep going and the maintenance, and it'll run forever. That's the 2023 vintage. It's one that is built to last, 100%. I think this vintage of 2024, with the little bit of extra heat that we got, it's gonna be really good. It's gonna be really, really good. I mean, and many of you have heard me say this before, and obviously I'm biased, but it is near impossible for Napa to have, quote, bad vintages. It just doesn't happen because our weather is far too consistent. You know, even in the cool vintages, our fruit can get ripe and we can still make great wine out of it, which compared to other regions isn't necessarily the case. You know, we don't have hailstorms in June that can ruin our season, right? That's just not what happens down here. So there are things like that to keep in mind, that it is tough for us to have those kind of stereotypical bad vintages just because of the climate that we get to enjoy here and the weather patterns that come through. That being said, there can be vintages that have that little bit of variation to them. It can be splitting hairs. I fully admit that. When you're talking about kind of the greatness of Napa and how consistent it is, it's really tough to say, like, what vintage is your favorite. There are certain ones, like for me, that I have a soft spot for, wines that I've made that I love. Actually, speaking of 2013 earlier, that's one of those years that's a very big soft spot in my heart, because 2013 for me was the benchmark. It is, if we can make our wines at this level, we're going to be just fine. Like, the quality, the concentration, the style, like everything clicked into gear in 2013 for us. And then again in 2016, that was kind of like this, okay, not only are we making these great wines, but now there's a confidence level there, which was outstanding. So there are kind of these like check boxes that I think we winemakers go through when we're evaluating where a vintage is. It's a lot of comparing it to the past and seeing kind of where we think these wines are going to end up in the future. And that's something that I think you can really only garner with having the experience, or maybe someone like yourself drinking enough wine that you understand kind of the vintage differences and maybe certain vintages that you prefer a little bit more over other vintages. Realistically, there's no wrong answer, of course, because the enjoyment of wine is so subjective. But when you have these really excellent years back to back, it creates so much excitement for us. The 2024s are just, man, they are lights out. At a very early age, I can't say it enough, they are lights out. And of course, here I am like hyping it up. As I said, don't believe the hype all the time, just a few moments ago. But take it with a grain of salt or don't. The 2024 vintage is going to be an amazing one for Napa. I think there's going to be a little bit more vintage variation for some folks, talking about some of those earlier picks that happened, some of those earlier harvests from some folks. That could throw a little bit of a wrench into how 2024 really shapes up for some people. But I think for many of us that kind of go for this little bit more of a restrained style, I mean, it's a line it up to knock it down kind of year. This was the interesting thing for us, you know, personally, as we were working through bringing in grapes and making wine, is that it really came to like these peaks and valleys over the course of, you know, the second week or third week of August through the, you know, second or third week of October. It was basically two solid months where we had fruit coming in, but it came in waves. So our white wines, rosés and things came in August over the course of like 2 weeks. After that, we waited another 2 weeks for our Merlot to come in and some of our lighter reds. After that, we waited for two more weeks, you know, and our Cabernet Sauvignon came in. And then the next week after that, our Cab Franc came in. So there were these like big gaps in the harvest action for us, which has happened before. not quite this lengthy, but it was weird because we made all of our white wines. They were in essence done and being put to bed. And we're like, okay, we got a couple of days before these light reds come in. And then we made all those light red wines, and Merlot included in that, because it is technically a little medium, more medium bodied, let's say. Let's not give Merlot too much, you know, let's not say it's light bodied. It's medium bodied for sure, right? Maybe bold for some folks. That would come in, made those wines. They were put into barrel. And then by that point, we were making Cabernet. Like, it was this really nice, relaxing, for the most part, flow, which doesn't happen. Normally, harvest is just, you're pulling your hair out. Normally, this haircut I got going right now, this just happens naturally. You know, it goes from the long shagginess of just like not getting a haircut for a couple of months. It just starts shaving itself and forming this mohawk on its own because it's just so stressful and crazy and we're tired and exhausted and all things happen. I don't even have to go see my barber, Big Sean. He doesn't need to worry about me during harvest. It takes care of itself. So to have this relaxing vintage for us was just strange. It felt nice, but it also, and probably some of you have experienced this, like with workflow, you know, at your job where all of a sudden, like, you're just on top of everything and you feel, you know, accomplished and successful and like everything's just moving the right direction. You feel like you're ahead of the game, but your immediate instinct is like, what am I missing? There's something out there. What am I missing? There's got to be something. I know I forgot something. All of a sudden you kind of start to psych yourself out because your assumption is that I'm so used to like the stress and the madness that now that I don't feel that stress or madness, there's something I missed and something's about to blow up. Like you're standing on a landmine and you're just waiting to move the wrong direction, right? Like that's what it feels like. So that was probably the most interesting thing about this 2024 harvest for us, was that it was just so even keeled. We did have a lot, and I mean a lot of equipment issues at the winery this year. That was kind of like the press went down 4 different times. We had a pump blow a gasket and that wasn't working for crushing grapes. What else? We didn't get the forklift stuck. I did almost crash it one day, which wasn't awesome. That was a little scary. But we survived that. We didn't break any barrels, didn't puncture any tanks, didn't spill anything. Well, some things were spilled on the press, which helped cause some of those issues that I mentioned before. But like outside of like equipment going down, that's all stuff that you can typically like remedy. Like it's mostly stuff that is fixable. You don't have to, you're not like shut down for the day. The power was out for a cup, you know, a little bit with some extra windy days, which is annoying because we have to run off a generator, which means we can only operate so much equipment at a single time because it's a big ass generator. But, you know, we can run like 2 pumps and like a pump or the sorting table and destemmer or like the press and one other thing. Like there's, you know, you kind of have to play some chess to make sure that you get all your equipment up and running. And of course the caves are all dark, so you can't really do a lot of work in there. So that just kind of creates like a backlog of work that you now have to like play catch up on. So that's challenging, but none of that's stuff, like we've dealt with all that before. Like we know how to fix those things. We know how to conquer those challenges and get over those obstacles. So even though they kind of created problems, it wasn't anything that was like adding on extra stress. Like that's the kind of stuff we expect to happen during harvest. It's a lot like harvest can be a lot like bottling in that sense, where it's just Murphy's Law. Just gets thrown at you full speed. And you're not going to catch it. You're just not going to. You're going to be picking up the pieces at a certain point, and you're just going to have to do the best you can with what you got. Plain and simple. So of the wines that I think are going to really excel from this year, one, the medium to kind of like bold reds are just going to be ridiculous. Oh my gosh. Like they're going to be on a different level because of the concentration and complexity that we're seeing. Our white wines are going to be an amazing spot. I think 2023 was much better suited for our white wines because of how cool it was, but there's still some amazing stuff. Things like, I'm so excited. We made Chenin Blanc for the first time. Cannot wait until we get that in bottle. We have our bottling run scheduled for February, actually, officially. Very excited to get that all taken care of. Man, what else can I say about 2024? I think realistically, everything that I can say has been said. You know, now that we're entering this aging process and we're seeing these big differences, you know, in weather patterns from one year to the next in terms of a very cool vintage to a much warmer vintage, you know, it's going to come down to this aging process and our barrel selection and blending to help us build these wines and create consistency from one year to the next. And that's just going to come with time, and it's going to come with patience, which is a tough thing to do because you want it to be ready now. You want to be able to look into, shake your crystal ball and be like, all right, where is this 2024 vintage going to be? Because I really want to know. And this is the point where you just have to wait. I think, you know, when I think on Instagram and maybe on YouTube as well, we posted that cellar update after tasting through our 2023 barrels, you know, so those have been in barrel now for almost a full year, going on 11 months, basically. And there are a few barrels in there that are just like, they're solid. They're solid, but they need time. They're just kind of in this little bit of their adolescent phase. They're being a little feisty. They're a little closed off. They're a little tight. They're working it out. You know, the barrel characteristics are certainly starting to get a little bit more involved. You know, the acidity and alcohol and tannin, kind of the structural components are kind of coming together now. The fruit characteristics are starting to kind of integrate into all of that to make it a little bit more balanced, but they're still kind of, everything's still a little edgy. And it'll be, realistically, it's going to be probably 4 to 6 months before they really start to kind of gel and come together. And we're not going to bottle those wines until August of next year. That's for our big reds anyway. So there's a lot of time left. You know, we've got a long runway here for these wines to start to come together. I think that they will, no problem. And we're going to be able to put together some really amazing wines from that 23 vintage, even though they're kind of in this funky state right now. That's kind of also the tough part about evaluating like a new vintage, like 24, like it's so fresh and new and exciting. And then you go back and taste some of the wines that are still aging. You're like, oh, they need more time. Like you kind of get to view into that crystal ball just a little bit and kind of see where your wines are in the process and how they are potentially going to evolve and increase in complexity and flavor and character and really kind of be a great example of what that vintage had to offer. So it is nice. It is something I try and do towards the end of every harvest is go back through and taste through what we had in barrel from the prior year so I can kind of see where it's at. And then we, of course, taste some current releases that are in bottle and how they're doing as it stands right now. And then we compare all that to how this current vintage is tasting, what these brand new wines that are weeks old, days old, are like, and where they're headed. That's the kind of stuff that kind of helps us set up that consistency, build that consistency within our programs, and make sure that we stay on top of that so that we don't end up making a completely different style of wine that maybe you wouldn't expect from a certain brand or whomever you're purchasing wine from. Long story longer, 2024 is going to be a good one, my friends. There's a lot to be excited for from this year. I know for some, like us, it was a very even-keeled, kind of interesting ebb and flow of the harvest season where it seemed way more relaxing than it should have been. I also know plenty of folks that were under the gun and had a lot, and I mean a lot of tough work and tough decisions to make because of fruit getting ready kind of all at the same time. So this is a variable year. Every producer is going to kind of have their own story. Some probably a little bit more laid back like ourselves. Others maybe a little bit more hectic. It's going to be a very interesting one to hear some more of these harvest stories as they kind of come and go over the next few months as we catch up with everybody since we've all been so laser focused and kind of isolated away from one another. It's going to be very fun to see what everyone has going on and do some barrel tastings with people and hopefully give you guys a little bit more insight into what this vintage is going to have to offer in a couple years. All right. That does it for us. It has been a fifth Wednesday bonus episode in your 2024 Harvest Recap. Appreciate you all tuning in. Have an excellent rest of your week. We're officially going to be doing some episodes from the road over the next couple of weeks. I'm going to try and get some recording done. We're going to be all over the Midwest, the East Coast. I forgot to mention we have a couple of events coming up in the great state of Missouri. We're going to be down in Springfield at Flame Steakhouse on November 6th. We're also going to be out at the Blue Hills Country Club on November 7th, getting more details on both of those, but you can call both those locations and get a little bit more info if you're interested in attending. Very excited to be back in the great state of Missouri. I love it out there. It's a great place. Be sure to check out the rest of our events on our website, mtgawines.com. Head to our shop. You can find tickets to our Charlotte, Atlanta, and Tampa events. Be sure to stay tuned for our special announcement that has been pushed back. Even though we've run into technical difficulties this week, it'll come, I promise. Last but certainly not least, of course, be sure to like, follow, share, subscribe, and leave a rating and review if you could of the show. Would really appreciate it. You can find this podcast wherever you want, pretty much. But Spotify and I think Apple Podcasts are probably the two big ones. What else? Is there something else? Am I missing something? Was there one more announcement that I had? Oh, yeah, social networks. At MTGA Wines, YouTube, Instagram, where we're most active. You can also follow us on the social network formerly known as Twitter and the Book of Face. All right, this has been the Wind Up Podcast. Take care, take it easy. We will see you next week.